Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures, and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind," and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I've given every green herb for food," and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Verses 1 through 31, all of Genesis chapter 1. Father, thank you once again for the glorious and the powerful and the wonderful story of creation as you lay out before us in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1. Thank you for this glorious chapter that you not only share and tell us of your wonderful creation, it's the chapter you use to introduce us to your book and to yourself. What a glorious and a powerful chapter it is. And Lord, thank you for the fact that your word is the best-selling book in all the world, and for good reason. It's your wisdom, your guidance, your grace, your power, your insight. Father, more and more, help us to be a people that fall more in love with you and with your word. Help us to learn to take your word, to fill our hearts and our minds with your word each and every day. Help us to be wise enough to teach and train our children to do the same. And help us to be a people that are continually walking, living, and dwelling in a life of faith, trusting you, looking to you, following you faithfully each and every day. We thank you for the wonderful and the powerful gift of your word. Thank you for the privilege of being able to talk with you and converse with you through your word and in prayer. And thank you for the opportunity to obey your word and walk in its wisdom each and every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we're so thankful that we can approach you today. And Father, we're thankful that we can trust in you forever, not just in this life, but beyond this life. God, we can trust in you throughout eternity. You are the God, the Lord. We have an everlasting rock in you, Father. What a foundation we have to live our lives on. And we're thankful for your precious Son, Jesus, who died on a cross at Calvary for sinners like us, Father. We're so thankful for your dear Son. We're thankful for your love. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit, Father, as our guide. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. A continued reminder, we're encouraging you to take time to visit the AFA Resource Center. Go to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. You can visit the AFA Resource Center where you'll find just a number of products and items that are tools to help equip you to be a better equipped disciple and follower and warrior in the kingdom of God. Books and other items that will strengthen you, and that they're tools that can help you in the discipleship of your family. You can find many resources there and different items that have by different authors, different ministries as well. I'd like to mention once again, I have the privilege of having a couple books in the AFA Resource Center as well. The first one is A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. And it's a book that's a tool to help equip you to become an effective and faithful warrior in the kingdom of God, and specifically in helping to address the cause of standing for life and helping to end the tragedy of abortion in our world. All of us are to be involved in the fight, and it's for us to seek God to find out exactly what he wants each one of us to do. And the book is a tool to help you and your family to do just that. Hope that you'll prayerfully consider getting the book, A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. And the second book is The Intercession Chronicles. It's a fiction book with a serious and a very important mission. It's a tool to help set your prayer life on fire. All of us are called to be prayer warriors in the kingdom of God, and it's the Holy Spirit that equips us to be and do that. And so hope that you'll consider getting the book, The Intercession Chronicles, for you and your family to help strengthen your prayer life and set your prayer life on fire. Again, to go to the AFA Resource Center, go to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. Hope you'll take the time to do that. Today, we're specifically looking at the topic, key faith passages in the Word of God. Again, key faith passages in the Word of God. And, you know, one word of encouragement I want to share with every single listener, keep in mind, I would encourage you to seek to be a lifelong student in the school of faith. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you know, faith is such an important part of the life of every believer, and it's important for us to know. God's word tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." So we find out from the word of God that if you don't have faith, there's no way for you to please God. So apparently faith is extremely important. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So having faith is very important, and putting our faith to work is very important as well. You know, God's word tells us again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And also the Word of God tells us, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. An important truth for you to remember is, if you don't have faith, you can get it. Open the Word of God. Again, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And faith begins where the will of God is known. And so the Word of God is the will of God. So being a student of Scripture, I can't overemphasize how important it is that serious disciples of Christ must be diligent students of Scripture who are reading the Word of God, not just to say you've read it, but reading it with the full intention of applying the Word of God. Remember, truth is always meant to be applied. There is no truth you learn in the Word of God that your perspective should be. Well, that's a nice thing to know. There's nothing I can do with that, but that's nice to know. No, God wants you to learn to take His truth and apply it. And that's how we each become more and more fruitful vessels in the hands of the Lord. So again, the challenge is for each of us to be lifelong students in the school of faith. Always learn more and more about how to take your faith, to put it to work, to grow it, to develop it. Because as we do that, we become more fruitful vessels in the hands of the Lord. And so we're going to take time to read through the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And if the break catches us, we can just pick up on the other side. But Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, this chapter is sometimes known as the Hall of Fame of Faith. But it's a powerful chapter that lays out many important insights about faith. Hebrews 11, starting at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Verses 1 through 16, Hebrews chapter 11. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we look today at the topic, Key Faith Passages in the Word of God. We'll be back.
Your name, still call the sea to
Music from the group Mosaic, the song simply entitled Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking at the topic today, key faith passages in the Word of God. And we're reading now in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, picking up once again at verse 8. Hebrews 11, starting at verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Verses 1 through 40, Hebrews chapter 11. Father, we thank you once again for the powerful and the wonderful wisdom, grace, strength, and insight in the book of Hebrews, specifically chapter 11. Thank you for the truths and insights that you teach us about faith and walking in faith and living by faith. Thank you for every individual you mentioned in this chapter, and thank you for the important faith lesson and the faith insights that are found in and through each of those persons' lives. Help us more and more as believers to be wise enough to learn from each person's life, to learn how to take our faith and apply it in the ways you'd have us to in our own lives. And more, help us to be believers who know how to put our faith to work effectively and faithfully every day. And help us to be believers who know how to trust you and do exploits in your kingdom and in following you. Thank you, and we praise you, Father, again for Hebrews 11 and for all of your precious word, all of the word of God, which is a big and great book of faith. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're looking specifically at the topic, key faith passages in the Word of God. And part of what we're wanting to encourage you to note, too, is that as believers, we're wise to all our life long to seek to be learning more and more effectively how to put our faith to work. And that one of the reasons why that's so critically important is because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So apparently, it's extremely important that we as believers learn to walk in that faith. And you know, one of the truths that we find time and time again, a number of times in Scripture, Old and New Testament, is the just shall live by faith. God fully is looking to us to trust His Word, to listen to His Word, and to obey His Word. So again, specifically Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says, For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So God calls all of us to live a life of faith, that is a life of hearing God's word and trusting His word. You could ask the question, is the word of God true? Well, you know, a normal reaction is, of course, God's word is true. Well, it's the Word of God, and of course, God's Word is true from beginning to end. God always keeps His Word. So keep in mind, if God's Word is true, and of course it is, then we need to act like God's Word is true. And we need to live a life of acting on the truths of God's Word as well. Why is that important? Well, it's true because living a life of faith is to hear God's Word and to believe and act like God's word is true, to stand on His word, to trust in His word. God's word is His bond. If God says something, God is always going to keep His word. Faith follows the word of God because faith trusts and obeys God's word. A very important part of a life of faith is a life of obedience. If we truly believe the word of God, if we truly live a life of faith, we have to obey what we hear and learn from God's word. It spells it out very clearly that walking in faith is tremendously important in the life of every believer in all the world. So if you would turn with me now to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. Here we find a passage that we often will hear read during Christmas, the Christmas season, and for good reason. But at the same time, there's some powerful truths and insights about living a life of faith that we find in this chapter. We're reading verses 1 through 38. And looking specifically at the experience of two people of faith in the Word of God, Zechariah and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the 6th month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Verses 1 through 38, Luke chapter 1. So here we see a passage in the Word of God that, as I've mentioned, often is read around Christmas time, and that's, of course, very appropriate. But, of course, this is a good passage to read all year long, any time of the year. It has many important insights about a life, the life of a believer who's following the Lord. Well, of course, we have some key characters here, and specifically we're looking at the two individuals, Zacharias and Mary. Well, we see Zacharias was a priest who had gone in the temple, was serving as one of the priests. The lot fell to him to serve in the temple. And so he there is doing his duty as a priest. And there the angel Gabriel appears to him and gives him a very important announcement, letting him know that he and his wife were going to bear a son, and a son with a very special task. He was to be the forerunner, coming before to be the one preparing the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic, Key Faith Passages in the Word of God. We'll be back.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight my battles.
The music of Michael W. Smith with Surrounded. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, key faith passages in the Word of God. And we just read a few moments ago the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 38. And we see here in this passage, Zechariah, a priest, is serving in the temple, and the angel Gabriel appears to him, and he lets him know some great news that he and his wife are going to bear a child, and specifically this child would be the forerunner before the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that would prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. And Gabriel shares this wonderful and powerful and great news, and Zacharias responds with these words. This is Luke 1:18, and it says, "And Zacharias said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years.'" Now notice, Zacharias seems to be hesitant to really trust the word of God sent by Gabriel. And Zacharias proceeds to give Gabriel a biology lesson and seems to feel like, well, Gabriel, you're a little bit late. Well, understand this. Gabriel obviously is not very happy with Zacharias' response, because Zacharias' response seems to carry a measure of doubt. A doubt about the word of God. And notice how Gabriel reacts. Gabriel's response is, and starting in verse 19, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." So basically, Gabriel's reaction to what appears to be doubt on the part of Zacharias is, Gabriel shuts Zacharias up. He causes him to be mute until after John the Baptist is born. Now, why would he do that? Was Gabriel in a bad mood that day? Of course not. Gabriel is a servant of the Lord who acts completely in the perfect will, in line with the perfect will of God and in line with the direction of the Holy Spirit. Our words are powerful. Our words are much more important than we think. And amongst other things, our words are instruments of faith. We can speak words of faith or words of doubt in our lives. And the reality is, we all do it every day. Our words either carry faith or they carry doubt. And the fact is, the Bible tells us death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, I don't think we can overemphasize how important it is that we recognize that as believers, we are responsible for the words we speak. Again, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 tells us, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Our words are powerful. We can speak words of faith every day, or we can speak words of doubt every day. It's important that we recognize that every word we speak, one day we'll give account for it. Why? Because every word we speak is important. Every word in the economy of time and in the economy of the kingdom of God is important that we utter from our mouth. So it's important that we use our words wisely and that we learn to habitually and as a lifestyle speak words of faith, words that line up with the word of God and the will of God and the kingdom of God. Our words are very, very important. If you recall specifically in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, it tells the story of when Christ was tempted in the wilderness by the devil. The devil came against him to tempt him to do wrong. And the reality is, Jesus responds every time with the word of God. In Matthew 4, starting verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In those four verses we see in that the introduction to this instance in the life of Christ. But remember, every time the devil attempted to come against Christ, Jesus responded with the word of God. We too are wise to do the same thing. One of the ways we put our faith to work is standing on the word of God. Well, going back to Luke 1, again, we find in this passage, Zacharias seemed to doubt what Gabriel said, and Gabriel ended up shutting him up where he couldn't speak until after John the Baptist was born. Well, then we look at the life of Mary. Mary, a young girl, probably a teenager, and Gabriel has come to speak with her as well. And notice what the conversation between Mary and Gabriel involves. Well, Gabriel brings the great news to Mary that she's going to be the mother of the Messiah. And Mary seems to very much understand what Gabriel is saying, that it's a great responsibility and a great privilege and a great way in which she's being favored as well. She does ask a question, how can this be since I did not know a man? And the angel Gabriel explains it to her. But notice the final phrase, the response of Mary in chapter 1, verse 38. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, I want to challenge every single listener to make it your goal to read and meditate on this passage a lot, verses 26 to verse 38, and focus on verse 38. Mary's response, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, be it to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, listen and understand very clearly what Mary is saying. It's sort of like Mary is basically saying, Lord, I believe your word, and I'm trusting that you're going to keep your word. How important, how simple, but important that really, really is. We all can read the word of God every day, but did you know this? You can read God's word, but not choose to believe it. You can read it and think, well, that's good for that person in the Bible, but that would never happen for me. How tragic. It's important that we learn to take the word of God and learn how to apply it to our lives as we're called to do, because God is looking for us to do great things through our faith as well. Yes, Mary had a unique task in the kingdom of God to be the mother of the Messiah, but you know what? You and I, every believer, has a unique task from God to trust him to do great things as well. God has things that you and I are called to do, he's calling us to do, that we can only do by believing God to do the impossible. Some of the tasks he's calling each one of us to do are things that we will never be able to accomplish unless we trust God and trust his word to do it in us and through us. We're called to believe God for impossible things. Now, you might think, well, I don't know of anything in my life that's impossible that God's calling me to do. Keep reading your Bible. Keep listening. Because this is what God calls all of us to do. He calls us to do tasks that are beyond us, things we cannot do in our own strength, in our own wisdom, in our own ability. But in order to do them, we've got to learn to take our faith and apply our faith. And it's important that we know how to do that. Number one, a very important part of faith is to be a hearer and a doer of the word of God. James 1:22 tells us, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In other words, but be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. When you read the Bible, but you don't do what the Bible says, we deceive ourselves as believers. We're called to apply God's word. We're to be obedient when God's word tells us to do something, we're to do it. That's a very important part of the life of faith. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking, well, faith is just believing God for big things. That's a part of it. But also faith is simply hearing God's word and obeying it. That's a big part of living a life of faith, obeying what we know God has called us to do. Well, you might think, well, why would a believer not obey God? Well, that's a great question, but the reality is it happens every day. Lots of believers don't read the word of God as God clearly calls us to do. God's word tells us in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We're called to be diligent students of God's word. But many believers are just busy or for whatever reason, they don't take the time to read and study as they should. Many believers are not seeking to live what they learn. You know, one of the callings of God's word is the Great Commission, go into all the world and make disciples. Well, you know, we start with ourselves. We're to make ourselves a disciple, but we're in turn to disciple our children and to disciple others. We should have a lifestyle of encouraging others to become more faithful disciples in their lives. If you ask many a believer, when's the last time you encouraged someone in their prayer life or encouraged them to read and study the word? Many couldn't tell you when they ever did that. That's a lack of obedience. Therefore, it's a lack of faith. We're called to be a people that live out our faith every single day. We're called to walk in the wisdom and faith of Mary. Mary's attitude was, Lord, I'm trusting your word and I'm believing you, Lord, that you're going to keep your word. We're to stand on the word of God, to obey the word of God, and trust the word of God. God has exploits for all of us to do, but it's important that we're ready to walk in obedience and to trust God for whatever he's told us in his word to call and trust him on. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to read your word, to obey your word, to trust your word. You told us in Psalm 1 that whatever he does shall prosper. Help me, Lord, to walk in the wisdom and to walk and to be wise enough to recognize that's true, and I'm to stand on that word. You said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Help me to know, Lord, that's a truth that I'm to stand on and believe as I follow in obedience to you and carry out your call upon my life. Lord, help us more and more to know that every area of our life, every challenge, every need is an area where we're to apply our faith. Help us to know you've told us the just shall live by faith, and that every day we may literally apply our faith 1,000 times, but you call us to apply it in every circumstance, in every moment, in every situation. Thank you for the opportunity to put our faith to work. Help us to be faithful to do it each and every day. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession, as we usually do in these last few moments of the broadcast. If you're listening and you never made the all-important step of asking Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, I invite you to pray this prayer with me to make that step. I can't overemphasize how important it is that you give your life to the Lord if you're not saved. Today is a good day to get saved, and Jesus is calling you. He wants you to make that step because God has a wonderful new life waiting for you if you simply step into that life of committing your heart to him and begin to follow him and live for him. If you want to give your life to Christ today, to be saved today, to be able to spend all eternity with the Lord Jesus, would you simply pray this prayer from your heart with me? Would you pray with us now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I have sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all the wrongs I've done. And Lord Jesus, I ask you, Lord, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you have called me to be. Lord, you said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live my entire life for you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. My email is jparker@afa.net. If you just prayed and gave your life to the Lord, committed your heart to the Lord, or recommitted your heart, please email us and let us know. We'd like to share with you some materials and resources that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the email, jparker@afa.net. Or also, if you're wanting some of the discipleship materials or the prayer tools that we provide, we're glad to share those with you as well. Simply email us, same email, jparker@afa.net. We're glad to share them with you. Hope you'll take and use them for you and your family. And please forward them and share them with lots of other folks as well. We all can use encouragement in our walk with the Lord. We've been looking today at the topic key, faith passages in the Word of God. We appreciate you listening. Remember, you can get the podcast of this broadcast to listen again if you wish to, or to take and forward to others so they can be blessed and encouraged in their walk with the Lord as well. Go to AFR.net to find those podcasts. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.